Please take your Bibles today and turn to John chapter 6. In just a minute, we'll read the first 12 verses together. As you're turning to John chapter 6, I would like to say a special thanks to our pastor for the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. I always like to pause and give gratitude to our church for letting us serve here at Worth Baptist Church. And of course, as Brother Earl mentioned, special thanks to the teen choir. It is in his name. The verse that came to my mind as the teen choir was singing is Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then the hymn that came to my mind was to take the name of Jesus with you, child with sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. And teenager and adults, may we take the name of Jesus wherever we go. And of course, I guess we should say thank you to the boys that sang as well, too. Earl leaned over and said, they sound better each time. I said, man, I wish they looked better. Just kidding, boys. It is my desire and burden that God would raise up young men and young women who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that they would stand for truth and for godliness. And parents, I really believe it is imperative that we push our young people to get up, to get going, to speak to other people, and then to give their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I really believe it starts with us leading the way, and I'm praying for our young people. As word got out a little bit that I would be preaching this morning, I just got a text message, by the way, from Brother Bill Patterson. I believe he's watching. Brother Bill, we're praying for you. Of course, he's not thinking about himself, but he said, I'm praying for you, Tony. And so, Bill, we're praying for you, hoping for a speedy recovery. But someone said, you're going to tell us something about Ron Baldwin, aren't you? Something about his fault or his failure, his shortcomings. And I thought, it's Sunday morning. I have to be mindful of that. And so I did want to share this simple thought, and Ron may fall over here and the church may pass out, but this past week I had just a small little need at the church here, and I'd sent a quick text to Brother Ron, and he called me right away, and he went to Home Depot, got the need, and came over. I was going to pass out. I was like, it's a miracle. Like, this is Christmas already. And Ron, I just want to say publicly to everyone, thank you. Thank you for your kindness, and yeah, people are clapping. This is abnormal, but I want to say thank you. Of course, thank you to the teen choir, but thank you to the teen choir director. And if you did not know, she's the one that keeps my home intact. And so we appreciate Rachel very much. In the gospel records, we have around 35 miracles that Jesus performed that's recorded for us. And in John chapter 6 this morning, the miracle that we will be reading is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. It's actually recorded for us in all four parts of the gospel. Would you look at John chapter 6? We're going to read verse 1 down to verse number 12 this morning. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain. There he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him and said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. If you'll look back at verse number 11, this morning. And would you underline the phrase, he had given thanks. The title of our message today is Jesus Gave Thanks. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, please speak to us through thy word. And I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Do a work in all of our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know, is it too early to say Merry Christmas? I took a survey this morning in Teen Sunday School because yesterday I was at a restaurant and just trying to be polite to the lady that was serving us. I said, Merry Christmas. And she just looked at me, okay. And then it made me think, maybe it's too early because it's still November. And so I took the survey this morning and I think the majority of the teenagers said, ah, it's fine, you can say Merry Christmas. But there's a few that said, no, you can start tomorrow. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving break. How many of you traveled out of town, went somewhere for Thanksgiving? Out of town, we had several there. How many of you had guests come into town to visit in your home? We had several there. How many of you are glad that the guests are gone now from your home, right? Yes. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know how you feel. One of my favorite Thanksgiving memories took place my senior year in college. Eric Lamphere, a close friend from school, he invited me to Nashville, Michigan. Anybody ever been to Nashville, Michigan? It is out in the boonies of nowhere. Long story short, we were gathered around the Thanksgiving table, the dining table. It was really my first, like, American traditional Thanksgiving. My parents were from Laos, and so I didn't grow up eating turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and pecan pie and sweet potato casserole and all the other things that go with it. And so I was really excited for my first Thanksgiving there, my senior year of college. And so I sat at the table with Eric, my good friend. He had two brothers, one that was younger and that one that was older, just a year younger and a couple years older, Josh and Adam. And we sat at the table, and then Mrs. Lamphere had been up early cooking, doing all sorts of things there. And then Mr. Lamphere had prayed for our food. And we were excited about the meal. So right when he said amen, Josh stands up, grabs a roll from the table, takes a bite out of it, and tells the family what he's thankful for. I thought, well, that's strange. He then gives that same roll to Eric. Eric takes the roll, stands up, takes a bite out of the roll, and says what he's thankful for. I'm next. Eric gives me the roll. What would you do? I don't know. I grab the roll, I stand, and I'm thinking, what do I say? And as I'm about to take a bite of the roll, Mrs. Lamphere says, stop! Stop! We do not do that in our house. Whether you have Thanksgiving traditions or not, the truth is this morning, the Bible has much to say about Thanksgiving. The word thanks, thanksgiving, praise, thankfulness, praises, praising is found close to 500 times in God's word. And if the Bible speaks that much about thanksgiving, I believe it should be part of our everyday lives. Amen. Really, all throughout the book of Psalms, you'll find the topic of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalm 96 verse 4 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Several times in Psalm 107, Psalm 118, Psalm 136, it's repeated over and over again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And Brother Earl even quoted this morning. The last verse of Psalm 150 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And if you're sitting here today and just wondering, what is God's will for my life? We're coming to the end of 2025 and getting ready to go into a new year. Can I say there are three definite plans that God has for your life? Number one, be saved. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It is God's will this morning, if you are lost in your sin, that you repent and trust the finished work of Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It is God's will that you be saved. It is God's will that you live set apart. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. The word there has the idea of being set apart, living separated unto God and living separated from the world. And then it is God's will in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that we be thankful in everything, not for everything, but in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be saved, live set apart, be thankful. Just by way of introduction, I wrote down gratitude is part of God's will. I was reminded even this week that thanksgiving in the Bible is not so much for what God has done, even though he has done a lot for us. Thanksgiving in the Bible is more about who God is. I'll be the first to confess that in my everyday life, I'm often rushing off and failing to pause and to praise God for who he is. Gratitude is part of God's will. I wrote this down. Gratitude is like medicine. In my office, I have a section of just random thank you cards and notes that have been passed to me throughout the years. And honestly, every now and then, I just pull them out and read them just to be encouraged. And Brother Earl was at my office area, and it was scattered, Brother Earl, of thank you notes. And I wanted to share a bunch of these, and I was going to read them all, but I don't have time. But this one's from Carter Mann. He says, thanks, Mr. Tony, for doing kids time. He wrote a joke. Why did the pony need a cough drop? He was a little hoarse. Drew a few pictures of me, maybe, and him, and different things there. Now, this is one of my favorites. It was from Landon Melsom. He just wrote, thank you. It's got some glitter, I'm not sure what it is, and a sticker of Captain America. And I'm just reading into this that he thinks I'm Captain America. Now, it might be because he likes Captain America, or that's all that he had, but that was his thank you note. This is from Eliana Yeko. I've got several of her notes and several pictures. She wrote, best friends forever. I love you, Tony. Some pictures of Eliana and myself. Just encouraging notes. This was a favorite as well from one of the young men who had gone through our youth department. He said, hey, Mr. Tony, I just wanted to give you these cookies. Bake some cookies for me with a note. And the note here, just to show my appreciation towards you, all that you've done for me personally, your messages, the teen outings have been a real encouragement toward me. And I know you do so much more for the rest of the youth group. I'll make sure to keep in touch during college, but I'm pretty sure I won't be able to make you any more cookies. That's a note there. Here's a note that was written to our pastor in our church. Pastor Gillett, thank you very much for honoring and supporting O.D. White High School. Your prayers are effective and very much appreciated. It's easy to see that Worth Baptist is a Jesus-loving, fruit-bearing church. Really enjoyed the sermon, the music, and the sweetness of the church members. Thanks so much for the beautiful lunch and the gift certificate. Sincerely, one of the teachers there. This is one for the church members. Brother Tony, Miss Rachel, since this is Pastor Appreciation Month, this is from a few years ago, I want to take just a minute to let you know how much the names here, we appreciate the work you've been doing with our young people. With society continuing to drive our youth away from church and God, it's so important they have an opportunity to hear truth and have a place where they can come and see and feel the love of Christ. So many more encouraging words here. And it says, thank you, Miss R., for your work with the teen choir. It is without doubt the best it has ever been. What a great note there. Here's a note from a young lady. It's very, very long. I won't read all of it, but she writes this letter to my wife and I, talking about there was a time in her life where she didn't know what to do, a place of loneliness and confusion. And she just wrote a letter of gratitude in this young lady serving the Lord today. I've got a card even from one of the young people from this summer. Thank you so much for bringing, leading, praying, and so many other things for us this last week at camp. Such a great week. I'm thankful, is what she wrote. And then this is maybe the most beautiful card letter that I've ever received. Dear Brother Tony, Miss Rachel, I'm writing to just say that I'm so thankful to have been part of the youth department under your leadership. 6 years went by so quickly, and you've made a difference. From a weird seventh grader all the way to my senior year, you've been with me. It means a lot to me, and I can't express my gratitude any further. Gratitude is like medicine. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. How many of you can testify this morning that you've been helped and maybe even healed because of a word of gratitude that's been given to you? I raise my hand with you. I wrote this down. Gratitude is the result of being forgiven. Psalm 51 is known as David's Psalm of Confession when he writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies," David says, "blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly." And then towards the end of that psalm, he says, "My mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken, a contrite heart." What is David trying to teach us? God is not so much concerned about our actions, even though those are important. I believe what David is saying here in this psalm at the very end is that your attitude, our attitude should reflect the forgiveness of sins in our lives. Right. Luke chapter 17, there were 10 lepers. Do you remember the story? There were 10 lepers that were cleansed. And God's word says that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. We can rejoice this morning because our names are written in heaven. Gratitude is the result of being forgiven. I wrote this down. Gratitude is what is missing in society. One of the issues in our country and culture today is that the Bible says that there's ingratitude, not being thankful. Romans 1 verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And here's the list. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Gratitude is something that is missing in our society. I wrote this. Gratitude is attractive. There's something beautiful about an individual who is polite, kind, gracious, and thankful. There's something handsome about a young man who says thank you, and their countenance reflects the goodness of God. I was reminded even this week that it's possible to say the right thing and do the right thing and not be attractive. My pastor in college used to say that it's not just doing God's will, but it's delighting in doing God's will. Don't be nervous. That was all introduction. I want to give you another Bible truth about Thanksgiving from the life of Christ this morning. In John 6, by way of outline, I've written these things down. Number one, we find in John 6 the large crowd and their need. Number two, we find the little boy's lunch and its impact. And then number three, we find the lessons from Jesus about giving thanks. Number one, the large crowd and their need. Verse number two, the Bible says, "And a great multitude followed him." Verse number 10 says that the men that sat down were about 5,000. In Matthew's account says that was not including the women and children. What was the obvious need here? The hour was late. They had traveled from far away. They were in a desert place. The result of the people, are you ready? They were hangry. Have you been there before? Yes. Time for confession. We've all been hangry. This idea of being hangry is really not a new concept. You find that in the lives of the children of Israel. And even to this point here with thousands in John chapter 6. Now, the need was not just a physical need. There was a great spiritual need. Jesus was moved with compassion because the large crowd were sheep without a shepherd. It reminded me even this past Wednesday, there was a group of us, about 40 or so young people, several of the youth workers who met Wednesday morning early. And we met at the church here to make breakfast burritos, cinnamon rolls, and cut up fruit to go feed the homeless. We partnered with Homeless No More Ministries and served, I think, over 40 or 50 that morning, food. They needed food. Some of them needed clothing. Some of them need shelter. But more than anything, you know what the people around us need? They need Jesus. Amen. The large crowd and their need. What is your greatest need this morning? Your great need is not a new job, not a new relationship, not for your circumstances to work out on its own. If you're not a Christian, your greatest need is Jesus Christ. Amen. And could I say it this way? For those of us who are Christian, our greatest need is Jesus. The large crowd and their need. The second thing we find in verse number 9, the Bible says there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves. We see the little boy's lunch and its impact. While Philip and Judas were counting the pennies, Andrew was searching for bread. And guess what? He found it. He found it from a little boy's lunch. And I think too often we are so busy calculating the numbers and we forget to go out into the highways and hedges and find the boy and the bread and his lunch. After counting the funds and collecting the lunch, it's easy. It's easy to become skeptical, Brother Earl. I don't think this is going to work out, Pastor. I really don't think this is going to work out. Because we leave God out of the equation. Never forget, dear church, that little is much when God is in it. I love 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Look, this was not the first time that God used something small to make such an impact. And I believe I could say this. It will not be the last time that God uses something small and insignificant in man's eyes to impact the world for God's glory. You're sitting here and wondering, could God ever use wee little me? And I'm here to testify and say, God can. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God can. God can. Don't forget that he created something from nothing. That's the little boy's lunch and its impact. And then number 3 this morning, we see the lesson from Jesus about giving thanks. I wrote 3 lessons that God spoke to me about that I want to share with you this morning. About Jesus and giving thanks. Here's the first lesson. Never let the need keep you from giving thanks. There was a great need in John chapter 6. But Jesus did not let the greatness of that need keep him from pausing and praying and giving thanks. When we are overwhelmed by the need around us, remember, Jesus paused and gave thanks. I often operate in worry and anxiousness when there's a deadline to meet. Gratitude is usually not the first thing on my list. It's usually the very last thing on my list. But as I was going through this story in this Thanksgiving season, I was reminded there was no need so great that Jesus did not stop and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Never let the need keep you from giving thanks. I wrote this down. Number 2, when we stop to give thanks, we're teaching others. I don't know how many true disciples, that followed Christ after this miracle, but I do believe with all my heart, when Jesus stopped to give thanks, so many followed in his footsteps. I doubt there was anyone that was a true follower of Christ for the rest of their lives when they stopped to eat. They didn't say, hey, I don't know what the need is, and we don't have much. But do you remember the story? Do you remember when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes? I think we ought to pray and give thanks to God. Amen. Others are following us. Just a note to all the parents in the room. Look, all the little ones are watching. And maybe you don't have little ones at home. Can I say this, teenager? to the adults, look, teenagers are watching you at church here. How often do we use the words thank you in our homes? Maybe to those who are serving us. And most importantly, how often do we use the words thank you to the Creator God that gives us life? As we pause with thanksgiving, look, when we think about it, others are following. The last thing I wrote down is this. As we stop and as we pause with thanksgiving, miracles take place. I believe the Bible teaches that there are times when we work for miracles. There are times when we should pray for miracles. But in this passage, we learn that we are to give thanks for miracles. Are you in need this morning for some supernatural miracle from God? Maybe it's a situation in your home, possibly a conflict at work or school. Maybe there's someone you're dealing with. There's someone here this morning that you're dealing with a personal situation and no one knows about it. Look, I don't have a formula for you from the Bible, but Christ does give us an example this morning. Miracles take place when we live a life of gratitude. Amen. When Jesus gave thanks, the miracle took place. Right. Over 5,000 people were fed. Yep. The great need in this passage was not for addition. The great need in this passage was for multiplication. Yeah. The miracle of multiplication occurred when Jesus gave thanks. Can I give you some examples that we find in God's word that help illustrate what Jesus is trying to teach here? Would you hold your place here and go to the Old Testament in the book of Jonah? Jonah, right before Micah, trying to help me and trying to help you there. You know the story. We won't go through all the details of it, but I'm going to read just a few verses from Jonah chapter 2. He was called of God and he ran. Do you remember the story? Swallowed by a fish. And now in Jonah chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. Cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul, and depth closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. He says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And here's what Jonah concludes with in his prayer to God from the belly of the fish. Will you notice it? He says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In verse 10, what do we find? We find the miracle that takes place because of the voice of thanksgiving. Hey, do you want a miracle in your life? Dear Christian, do you need something? You need God to do a supernatural work. It might be because we have not stopped and paused like Jonah here with the voice of thanksgiving. Would you hold your place here and go to the New Testament, the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. In Jonah's life, the miracle took place. He came out of the belly to the dry ground. I can't wait to get to heaven and somehow if there's a TV screen, like watch that being played out. Talk to Jonah, like, what really happened, right? That was part of the miracle. But the miracle of multiplication continued. Because what do we find in Jonah chapter 3? The people of Nineveh, they heard the truth of God's love and his judgment. Are you with me here? Because of Jonah and his voice of thanksgiving, not only was his life saved, but the lives of the people in Nineveh were saved. All because of gratitude. Acts chapter 5, if you're there. The story of the first century church here. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 40. Just for time's sake, the disciples, the followers of Christ, they were put in prison for preaching Jesus. And they were beaten. Like, wow, that's great. Super exciting. That did not discourage them. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them again, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. In verse 41, the Bible says, and when they departed from the presence of the council, it says rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, chapter 6, verse 1. Hey, after the rejoicing and the gratitude in their lives, we find the miracle. Chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. Jump down in verse number 7. And the word of God increased. How did the word of God increase? I believe it was because the disciples, the followers of Christ, were filled with gratitude, rejoicing. The Bible says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples, what happened? Multiplied. We see the miracle of multiplication. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the example of Christ. How in the world does 5 little biscuits and 2 fishes feed such a great crowd? I think Jesus sets the example for us. We are to live a life of gratitude. They were grateful. And because of their gratitude, what happened? The miracle. I close this morning asking the question. Do you need a miracle to take place in your life? And from our message this morning, I give one suggestion. And that suggestion is this. Start with living a life of gratitude. And Jesus gave thanks. Would you pray with me this morning? Dear Lord, we thank you for the example that you set before us in this great miracle. May we live a life of gratitude, thanking God for who he is. Help us to not worry and fret because of the need around us. Help us to stop, and even today, give thanks. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to God and his word. With a great crowd here this morning, I just happen to believe there's a miracle that needs to take place in your life, maybe in your home, maybe at work, maybe in your community. I do know this, there needs to be a great miracle to take place in our country. And we could work on a lot of things, we can pray, but I believe this morning the message is very simple. Those of us who are Christians, we just need to give thanks to God. Do you have a great need in your life? You need God to perform a miracle? Would you come this morning and say, God, I need a miracle, but I just want to stop and give thanks. I don't know where to start. Look, just come and thank God for salvation. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many of you say, Brother Tony, I know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand there? Can you testify? Look, with your hand up, you ought to just right now pause and thank God for your salvation. That's a good place to start. Thank God for your salvation. Maybe there's other things that you want to thank God for. We're going to stand together this morning with your head bowed and your eyes closed. No one's looking around. The piano's going to play. If you like to respond, our altars are open here. You want to come and just say, thank you, God. I need a miracle in my life, and I don't know where to start, but I just want to thank you for your goodness to me. This morning, if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it starts with being saved. Look, Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for your sins, and you must personally put your faith and trust in him. Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have some of our workers at the very front here. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you come and find one of these workers? I guarantee you they would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Brother Corey's going to sing. If God has spoken to your heart, we invite you to come this morning.